Penguin Random House Audio presents Swiping Hearts by Jeffrey Deaver. Read for you by Eduardo Ballerini. Ah, there. He watched the woman, around 40, with a pale, sun-shy complexion. Tall and willowy, she wore a taupe sweater, brown skirt, and dark red blouse. She was walking along Rivington Street, Lower Manhattan. Narrow. The canyon walls here, commercial buildings that were darkened now in the early evening. This was a perfect place for their date. His gut contracted with anticipation, a twist of pleasure. Having left a very nice coffee shop two blocks away, he was presently leaning against a brick wall, blending in. This wasn't difficult, as he fit into this part of town perfectly. A late 20s white man, slim, an unnecessary but ubiquitous stocking cap, which happened to match the shade of the woman's blouse almost perfectly. His clothing was just what a man who shared the mixed careers of an aspiring musician and a temp proofreader for a law firm would wear. Black jeans, wrinkled plaid shirt, and black jacket, whose brand name, Members Only, came from a very different era, if not locale. The sort of man no one would notice. The woman was doing what anyone did on any city street nowadays. Walking and texting, walking and texting. When she was past him, he counted 10 seconds, then followed. He didn't bother to scan about. He knew there were no video cameras along this stretch of Rivington. A man who planned things meticulously, he also knew the exact spot to approach her. At a driveway leading to the construction site on their right, now quiescent, the workers in bars, at restaurants with friends and family, at home. Meticulous. The word certainly applied. He was careful to the extreme in everything he did in his life and career, which, no, was neither music nor proofreading. But that's not how meticulous began etymological life. Its origin was meticulosus, Latin for fearful. The evolution was interesting. The word eventually morphed into its present Germanic language spelling, and hundreds of years ago came to mean timid, and then overly cautious, out of fear. In the 1900s, the negative blush was stripped away, and it assumed its present non-judgmental meaning of extremely careful, which described Ed Gable perfectly. For instance, he had not touched what resided in his backpack with his fingers, only with gloves or knuckles, which left no identifiable prints. The word meticulous also described certain people he admired, and whom he was, not surprisingly, thinking of at this particular moment. Among them, Ted Bundy and the BTK killer. It gave him a tiny thrill to count himself in their company. The woman was closer now. He'd picked up the pace. He glanced at the construction site, presently just a deep pit that would become a high-rise's foundation. It seemed like a setting from a superhero movie, an entrance to a dark, evil empire beneath the surface of the earth. Unzipping his backpack and reaching inside, knuckles again, he told himself, enough of these distracting thoughts. It was date time. The victim last night? On Rivington? Amelia Sachs was telling Lincoln Rhyme. I've known her for years. Her lips were taut. Rhyme turned toward her in an elaborate motorized wheelchair. He was a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down from an accident while searching a crime scene years ago, though various procedures had restored most movement to his right arm and hand. His handsome face, with its prominent nose and a comma of dark hair defining his forehead, radiated sympathy. The couple, married several years now, were in the parlor of his townhouse on Central Park West, a gothic-ish place that could be carbon-dated to the Victorian era, if one were inclined to cast Manhattan property in British imperial terms. Sachs looked out the window, as a flicker of wings cast a shadow on the bulletproof glass. Peregrine falcons nested on the facade of the building. It's odd, Rhyme. What do we do all day long? Whatever the case is, there's always some distance, some barrier. It's different when it hits close to home like this. The what they did part was investigating crime. Sachs as an NYPD detective and Rhyme as a consulting forensic scientist. Regarding her particular observation, though, Rhyme would disagree somewhat. His wife had an indelible empathy for all victims, not just those she might happen to know, like the woman last night. It was one of the qualities that made her such an effective crime scene searcher. Lincoln Rhyme, on the other hand, was, he'd sometimes joked, a man with a passion for being dispassionate. It was mid-morning, this late March day, and they were having coffee that Rhyme's aide Tom had delivered a few minutes ago. He'd also brought pastries, which were on a tray beside the wicker chair Sack sat in, but neither was indulging. They weren't foodies in the first place, and potential investigations tended to usher appetites away. She went on to describe her friend and their history. Joanna Mills and she had met years ago in the world of fashion. Sachs had been a model, Mills a photographer's assistant, who went on to become a successful photojournalist. Mills had been married for a few years to a man she'd met when she was in the army, and he was working for a government contractor. Not long into the marriage, he began to grow abusive, first bullying, and finally physical violence, or rather, the attempt. Mills had always kept up with her self-defense training. Love froze into anger, then diluted to sadness. Divorce soon followed. She was finally getting back into dating when this happened.
"We'll need all the details," Rhyme said.
Just then the door buzzer sounded, and they glanced at the security cam monitor on the wall nearby. A handsome woman of about 40 stood on the porch, upright of posture, looking with cool eyes into the camera. "We're about to get them. Here's Joanna now." Joanna Mills was not a victim of the sort of crime Rhyme and Sachs usually investigated. She had not been injured physically in the least, though victim she had been.
"My marriage, it wasn't so great," Sachs said. "I told Lincoln some of it."
She nodded.
"I was gun-shy, didn't date for a couple of years. But then I said, hey girl, you want somebody in your life? Get on with it. I went on this app, Hearts, with a cupid's arrow for the line that crosses the T."
Mills smoothed her black skirt. She wore a white blouse and a black jacket, similar to the sort that Sachs often wore, though Mills's would not have been tailored to conceal the Glock 17 that Sachs wore high on the hip.
"And I met him."
A special emphasis on the pronoun, as if she'd just stuck it to a board with a sharp pin.
"Kevin. I liked his picture. He was about my age. He was good-looking enough, but the appeal was more his eyes. They seemed kind. And his smile."
The woman's long face tightened as she frowned. Her brunette hair was pulled back severely, and she occasionally tucked a straying wisp into place. Her wrist bore a tattoo, a cartoon character Rhyme didn't recognize, though he reflected there were perhaps none that he could identify. Maybe that mouse.
"He was an executive in Silicon Valley," he said. "He wrote well, so I knew he was educated, like he'd said. No terrible personal baggage."
A shrug.
"So I thought, give it a shot. I'm lonely now. What have I got to lose?" We started messaging through the app and then emailing.
She sipped the coffee Sachs had poured for her, though she didn't seem to have much taste for it.
"It went great. My God, almost perfect. We had all these things in common. We liked the same movies, restaurants, politics, sports. And he was right up front about his past. He told me about an abusive wife. She sounded like a female version of Jim. And she claimed she wanted children, but lied about it."
Now her lips tensed, just as Sax's had done earlier.
"I always wanted them too. He said he'd gone to an in vitro clinic to see about using a surrogate, but he didn't think he'd have the time to raise a child properly by himself. Damn. I'd done—"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?